Well, it is Mother's Day, and I just want to say again, at this point in the service, I want to say this. Being a mother is about attitude. And if you're a lady in this room, it's not so much about what you do or don't have in the way of children. We got young ladies here that haven't had children yet, some that aren't married, some that are single. It's not about the natural mothering so much as this. It's compassion. It's care, and it's your counsel, your godly counselor in the earth that makes a difference, ladies. Amen. If you're a born-again Christian, you know, if I was a man and I never got married, never had a wife, never had kids, I still have a responsibility in the kingdom to be a father to young men, to be a brother to my peers in the kingdom. Amen. We have a role because of who we are. And in the kingdom, that role is magnified. It's magnified many times over than the natural role of a mother or father. I just want to say here, ladies, today, ladies, I'm believing the word of God today is going to lift you into your role as mothers in the kingdom. Amen?
Yeah.
Mothers in the kingdom. And it is Mother's Day, so guys, you're just going to have to be patient. Father Day's just around the corner. We'll talk to you then in June. But today's going to be about the ladies. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Galatians 3. And you know, I tell you what, it was a challenge for me to get this word together, and I guess because the Lord just wanted me to preach short. And I was just struggling, because I wanted to honor it being Mother's Day and give you time to get out with your families. I know some of you probably have plans with your families and lunch plans and whatnot. So I struggled with this message, but probably the hardest part, I think the biggest part of my struggle is because the Lord's want me to keep it brief. So I'm going to go with the flow here. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Jesus Christ has... Listen, I know it's Mother's Day. I am going to preach about mothers, but I want to say this. I'm going to preach the gospel.
Yes.
And may that always be the message from this pulpit in one way or the other. The message of the gospel. And this is the gospel right here, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Amen.
Boy, there's a whole lot in those two verses. But I really want you to catch that first part. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. You know, in the past weeks we've done a study on Wednesday nights. We didn't record it, so sorry if you weren't here. You did without. But anyways, we did a study on women in the church. And in that, in the initial phases of that study on Wednesday night, we looked at these verses in Genesis where God pronounced a curse as a result of sin. You remember that? In Genesis chapter 3, when man partook of the fruit, the woman and man together partook of the forbidden fruit. And there were several curses that were pronounced. And here's a couple of the, I'm going to break down here real quick, the curses. Number one, he said there's going to be trouble in family relations. He said, women, you're going to have an urge to dominate your husband. And guess what? He's not just going to yield to it. Because on the flip side, part of the curse is men are going to have an urge to dominate their wives. Now, God stated that not as an endorsement of such attitudes, but as a statement of fact of what would happen as a result of the curse. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'll look at anyone in particular. Now, we just read in Galatians 3 here that the blessing of Abraham. So I want to contrast the curse with the blessing real quick here. Number one, God said, women, you're going to have the urge to dominate. And that men would have an urge to be oppressive. On the flip side, in the relationship of Abraham and Sarah, you remember Sarah had a different name at first, Sarai, which means actually dominating one. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it means a dominating one. Interesting, isn't it? No mistakes in the Bible when it came to names. They all had meaning. And God said, Sarai, we've got a problem because you're still walking in this curse of a desire to dominate Abraham. Remember what Sarah did, an example of it? She said, this miracle child thing's not happening. You, Abraham, take my servant, Hagar, go have a baby with her. We'll make this thing happen. God's not moving quick enough. What is that? Domination. And all the women are silent at this moment. And so God came in and he changed her name to Sarah. He added an A-H, which is in the Hebrew, it has to do with grace. Ha. It's like God breathing. Ha. And all the men went, Ha! And her name was changed to Sarah, which means noble princess or noble queen. It's a statement of dignity. God said, I'm breaking this curse over you, Sarai, to dominate Abraham, because you're meant to walk in the blessing. And your name now means noble queen, noble princess. Amazing, huh? Am my mic ringing? Is it just me? Okay, nice to make sure. We're good? He also said this. Oh, and by the way, too, part of the curse, he said men will have the urge to dominate their wives. Guys, don't be bullies in the home. It's part of the curse. We're not walking in the blessing when we're walking in that attitude. God says that's part of the curse. We're meant to be what? Co-equals. We're talking about husband and wives now here. Husband and wives, co-equals in the home, reigning together. That's how God established the Garden of Eden feel. The atmosphere was we reign together, locked arm in arm. Amen? I draw from her wisdom. I draw from her intuition. Women, it's funny, Chris Valentin, we shared from his book, his insights about women and how he wrote a kind of a, imagine this, kind of write-up about what would have been like when Adam woke up and realized his rib had been sewn up. And God had pulled woman out of him, and all of a sudden he's feeling like something's missing from what he felt before. All of a sudden he kind of put it in some funny words like, I used to be intuitive, but I'm not so intuitive anymore. Because why? Because God pulled woman out of him and gave intuition to our wives, to the woman. So guys, we need them. Okay? We reign together best in life when we work together. That's God's way. Secondly, he said this, in childbearing, women are going to suffer pain. I'm just going to say this real brief. When Sarah finally had her miracle baby at near the age of 90, or around 90, she named him Isaac, which means laughter. Laughter. Now, women in the Bible didn't name their children coincidentally. She had an easy birth in the natural, giving birth to Isaac as a 90-something-year-old woman. Imagine that. Enough so that she chooses the name Laughter instead of like Jabez's mom, who chose his name, which means pain. Yes. That's why Jabez, you heard of the prayer of Jabez?
Yeah.
Lord, help me not cause pain, because my name means pain. I was a pain in my mother's neck when I was born, and she named me according to what I represented to her in that birthing process. Well, in the case of Sarah and Isaac, there's a beautiful picture here, and this is a promise for you ladies that are someday going to give birth to children. You can have an easy childbirth, free of pain, so much so that it'll be laughable.
Amen.
That's according to the Word of God. The blessing was on Sarah. She moved from being Sarai to Sarah, and in her childbirth, and late in life, 90-some years old, she names her baby Isaac. Well, isn't that hilarious? She says to herself as she's handing the baby to the nurse, like, I can't believe that just happened. A 90-year-old woman gave birth to this baby, and it was a piece of cake. It's the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. And we go back to this verse in Galatians. It came on. So when we talk, listen, anytime you read that phrase, the blessing of Abraham in the Bible, it's not just a churchy phrase. It means something. It means that the husband and wife finally got together. Sarai was no longer dominating, and she became Sarah. And it means a miracle baby was born in the house, so much so that the woman said, I didn't hardly feel any pain. Listen, that's the blessing of Abraham. When you read that phrase, blessing of Abraham, folks, it means something. It has deep meaning. In a practical sense, it's where the rubber meets the road. Amen? And it brings good things to the home. It brings good things to our life. So this is what Jesus came to redeem us from, the curse to the blessing. Amen? This message is for all ears at this moment. This is not just for women. The curse has been broken in Jesus' name. You can declare that over your life daily. In fact, you should. This should be part of your daily confession. Jesus, thank you. You've redeemed me from every curse. Anything I saw from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation that's a curse, you've set me free from it. Hallelujah. And childbearing with pain was one of the things God set Sarah free from. Thirdly, this is going back to the Garden of Eden. He said to man, from now on, Adam, it's part of the curse, he said, when you go to labor in the field, the ground's going to produce thorns. Frustration for you. Frustration, and by the sweat of your brow, what is that? Extra toil. Sometimes you'll hear me say something, you know, around here, if something goes a little awry here in church before or after a service, and you'll often hear me say this phrase, no sweat. Yeah, there's something to that phrase, no sweat. Because in God's kingdom, we're called to a life of no sweat.
Amen.
In the sense of frustration, toil. Okay? You understand that? I know there's work involved in ministry. There's work involved in family. There's going to be some sweat. But I'm talking about frustrating toil, which produces that kind of sweat. None of us are called to produce that kind of sweat under the blessing of Jesus. Amen? You are called to a sweat-free, blessed life without the frustration and thorns that were a part of the curse that Adam was cursed with. Amen? God said, Adam, you're going to be cursed with this, but under Jesus, that toil, that frustration. Guys, this is a blessing for you businessmen. When you go to work, you can just declare this over the work of your hands. No frustrating toil here. No thorns here. Instead of thorns comes up the blessing for me. Amen? There's another verse in the Old Testament. I confess it regularly. It says, instead of the thorn will come up the myrtle tree. Instead of the briar, the fir tree, or vice versa. And trees. I just know there's some trees involved. Okay? So instead of thorns, the fruit of our labor can be blessing, growth, good stuff. Amen? So all of you businessmen in here, I declare over you in Jesus' name, the curse is broken. You don't have to go to work and labor like lost people do. Listen, people around you that don't know Jesus, they're frustrating. They're toiling in frustration to make things happen. The blessing is produced by faith in your life. Amen? Without all that extra toil. Now, we're in Galatians 3. Let's look at verse 26. You are all sons of God. Say that with me. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you, verse 27, who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What does that mean? You have the right to inherit every blessing you read about in the Bible of Abraham. And I just described several of them to you. You and I, male or female, the Bible just wipes that thing away. When you're in Christ, the whole identity thing gets lost. Not in a sense of not knowing who you are, but in a sense of a greater identity. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about just goofiness here. I'm talking about a greater identity. And that is this. Hey, the feminist ought to love us. Because in Christ Jesus, listen, everything that felt like a shackle before, that women have said, well, I just feel oppressed, blah, blah. And in many ways, they have been oppressed since the garden. Since the curse, Jesus lifts that oppression.
Amen.
And in Christ Jesus, we all become co-equals. Wow. And we taught this too on Wednesday nights. We talked about this, how that in this church, listen, when the Bible talks about submission, it's in the context of the home. The wife is submitted to her husband. But in this church, as a corporate body, women are not, you know, your wife is not under my submission, and vice versa. It's not a man-dominating kind of thing. When we talk about submission in the kingdom, it's always a positive thing. It brings good things in the home, and it's not meant to be a dominating attitude among the general public. You follow me? It says right here, there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to wrap this up. But in case you don't know, it takes me a while to wrap things at Christmas time. I'm just teasing. Galatians 5. Flip over two chapters. Galatians 5 and verse 13. I'm starting my wrap up. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. In love. You know, it's pretty funny to me. I haven't seen all of them, but I know over the years that Hollywood's made some pretty humorous movies. Anytime you can take a storyline where you flip the male-female role, you know, like through some jinx, a guy gets trapped in a female body, or vice versa, or, you know, that kind of movie where all of a sudden, you know, it's silly science fiction stuff where a guy gets zapped and he's inside of her and she's inside of him, and all of a sudden, the thinking of a woman is going on in a male body or vice versa, you know, those kind of stories. It's kind of humorous, and we make light of it because of how obvious the differences are between male and female. And it's funny to me, I said to the Lord yesterday, I said, Lord, you got to give me some revelation here. I mean, I'm preaching tomorrow. It is Saturday, by the way, and I need a little more light here. What are we going to talk about? And like I said, he did want me to keep this relatively short, but he said, you know, he just reminded me of this kind of switcheroo thing. And that verse we just read in Galatians where it says there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. And I like to think of it this way, that in Christ, men finally get it regarding serving in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, women can realize their greatness in Christ Jesus. Now listen, before the curse, you know, life just carried on as usual. We got to break some cycles here in society. I'm telling you, you got born again. You guys, how many of you are older, you men in here, how many of you were older than 20 years old when you received Jesus? Let me see your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just raise it real high. Let me see. You were 20 years old or older when you came into the kingdom. You got born again. Okay, a few. How many of you were 30 years old or older? What, anybody older than 20? Yeah, I mean the guys. All right. Oh, there's a lot of people that received Jesus at a young age in this church. How many of you were 10 years older? Or I'm not good at statistics. Okay, how many of you were 10 years old or older? Like 10 to 20. Mike, you were 10 to 20. Okay. All right, well, we got a lot of people here who received Jesus as a child. But, you know, when we receive Jesus as an adult, a lot of times you carry some baggage of the old ways into that kingdom experience. You're born again, but you got a lot of old thinking that's come with you. And so we got to get rid of that. And the Bible says here, in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. And so, you know, we tend to look at mothers. Mothers are really, really good at sacrificial love. Would you not agree? Okay, you've gone silent on me. Did y'all fall asleep already? Mothers are good at sacrificial love. Would you agree, ladies? All right, there you go. You know, when we men get married, we tend to transfer what we've experienced thus far in our childhood to that woman we now call our wife. And so if you had a mom that just did everything for you, man, she cooked, she cleaned, she nurtured. Women are so good, they can almost go too far, to a fault. Would you agree? Okay, in some cases. But they can do a lot for us. And I'm saying, we got to break the cycle in Christ Jesus. Because, listen, when you got married, guys, let's talk to the men for a moment here. Don't worry, Father's Day's coming. I'll be real nice to you on Father's Day. Listen, when we got married, it was wrong for us, or it could be wrong. I'm saying all of you have done it, but it's potential that we do it. We transfer this experience of mom did everything for me. She cooked for me. She cleaned for me. She loved and nurtured. And we transfer it to our wife and just, you know, in a sense, we take this kickback role, okay, of her doing everything. And that is so counter-kingdom. That is counter-kingdom. The Bible says there's neither male nor female here. In other words, guys, we got to serve in the home too. Okay? The experience we had with a great mother, if you had a great mother growing up, and she was just a great godly example of a servant, sacrificial love, etc., as a young man, that's a great example. Take that example, carry it into your marriage with this idea of, I'm going to do like mom. Not, she's going to do like mom. You follow me? That's where I'm going with this whole thought. I'm going to do like mom. So the guy takes up this role of sacrificial love, serving in the home, being a godly husband. That's what being a godly husband is about. Okay? It's not that we come home from work every day and kick up our shoes and just, you know, serve me, woman. That's not it. That's not kingdom. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. Now, I know a lot of us have had that experience. I'm not taking, we're not tallying up votes here today, and certainly going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just saying, let the Word of God correct you. Okay? We can all be corrected by the Word, can't we? The Bible says there's neither male nor female, and we should all serve one another in love. That's Galatians 5. Serve one another in love. Wow, that's a new way of thinking. So I like to think of it in this way. In Christ, men will finally get it. We finally get it up here about, oh, I'm supposed to be a servant. Hallelujah. And the women say, amen. Joshua said it this way. He said, as for me and my house, we will
serve.
Huh?
Serve.
Wow, Joshua understood it. That's a real man's man. That's a real kingdom man. He said, I'm a servant. He wasn't just saying, they're gonna do this because I told them so. No. He said, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord because I set the example. Because I serve in my household. My children will serve. And they will serve their children. You follow me? So guys, we're called. Sorry if I just pulled the rug out from under some of you, but I got some news. We're not called to be served. We're called to serve. Hallelujah. And there's no condemnation. We're always growing in this. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to get to the good stuff. It's Mother's Day. Women, you're called to realize your greatness. When you got born again, when you came into the kingdom, you came into a destiny. We've been teaching on sonship. We've been teaching on becoming an heir. And listen, you have rights. You have a vision. You have destiny, women, in Christ Jesus. This is your call. Amen. Every one of you have a greatness. I like to think of it this way. Because one day, each of us will stand before the throne. Your husband won't be there hand in hand with you. Each of us has an appointment one day before the throne. We sold a book here a while back at our book table. It's called My Time in Heaven. And in one of the chapters, he talks about his appointment. Richard, the man that wrote the book, he said, I had this angel kept reminding me, we've got an appointment to keep. We've got an appointment. You've got an appointment before the throne of God. And when each of us gets to heaven, there's going to come a time in which the angel will say, it's your time. Come on, I'm taking you into the throne room. And you're like, oh, well, where's my security blanket? Okay? And wives, you can't look at your husband and say, well, I got to make sure he's with me because, you know. No. Each of us have a destiny to fulfill in life. Each of us have an appointment with the king one day before his throne in which we'll give an account. It's not a scary thing. It's simply an accounting thing. What did you do with your calling? What did you do with the blessing of Abraham that's on your life as a woman? Listen, I believe in a couple calling, and I've shared with you my wife and myself, we have a pastoral calling at this season of our life where we're walking together arm in arm in this pastoral thing. But also each of us has an individual obedience to fulfill in this life, apart from that couple calling. And that's what I'm talking about. Ladies, you have a calling, you have a destiny to fulfill in Christ Jesus, and you will stand before the throne one day and give an account for what you did with the greatness God put in you. And I'm just saying, I'm saying this to lift you. In Christ Jesus, you are released into greatness. Every curse is broken. No oppression. Nothing can hold you back. Nothing, and especially in this church, we believe strong in women having the right to speak, the women having the right to lead. Listen, in the world, they'll say, yeah, woman can be a queen. Woman can be a president of a company. For some reason in the church, we've had such goofy thinking that women can't even speak. We've misinterpreted Paul's scriptures, and even Peter commented on this. He said at one point, if you read this in if you're taking notes, 2 Peter 3:16b, the last part of that verse, 2 Peter 3:16, he said this, Paul the apostle writes some things that are hard to understand, which people distort to their own destruction. Yeah. Now, if you weren't here with us, but a couple weeks ago on Wednesday nights, we were teaching on the women in the church, and we made clear that all the things that Paul taught that people distort so badly really were in the context of marriage. They were meant to be understood, these commands. Things like, a woman should keep silent in the church. And we explained all that. Listen, if you weren't here, there's a book on our book table, The Woman Question. We got some. Make sure those are out today. There's going to be some ladies buying those up for Mother's Day. All right? Listen, all these things, the church has taken Paul's writings and distorted it to mean that women should keep silent in the church. Women should use no beauty aids to make them look prettier. Listen, Satan hates beauty, ladies. If you read in Ezekiel 28, verse 13 and 17, no time to read it today. We're on a fast track. Ezekiel 28, God said, I created you, Lucifer. He was talking to his angel, what had become a fallen angel. And he said, you were beautiful on the day you were created. I created you with jewels and stones and musical instruments inside you. This incredible capacity as an angel in heaven to give honor and worship to God. And then what? Satan turned it on himself in pride. And he corrupted his own beauty. But listen, thus Satan would take the scriptures that Paul wrote and distort them to mean that in the church women can't wear makeup. Hey, ladies, feel free. I'm just saying, you're liberated in this church. Listen, beauty aids, that's a distortion. And Satan would love to take away the concept of women being beautiful in the house of God. Okay, I say that to just correct some error here, correct some misbalance. Oh, all kinds of misconceptions. Here's the truth that we learned during that series. There's culture dictation, and then there's the relationship of marriage. Culture dictates certain things. And in Paul's day, he said, in our culture, it's a shame for a woman not to cover her head. Well, how many of you know? I mean, when people wear ball caps in church nowadays, it's kind of considered disrespectful. So ladies, you can come to church without your hat on. We don't expect you to wear a hat. So Paul said, listen, there's cultural dictations that relate to our day and our time, and we honor those as the church of God. But listen, those verses have been misconstrued. I'm not going to get into all that today, but I just want to say that, to say this, you're lifted, ladies, from bondage. You're lifted. No requirements here. This church is about your freedom in Christ Jesus, the fact that Jesus releases you to be all that you can be. And we say that about the military, don't we? Be all that you can be, and we need you in the army, right? Isn't that the army song? So that's for you, ladies. Be all that you can be. Praise the Lord. There's a wonderful line in the movie Risen, if you haven't seen the movie Risen. How many of you haven't seen the movie Risen yet? That's just fantastic. I just can't recommend it high enough, especially at Easter time. You got to see it at Easter, but If you haven't seen it yet, it's past Easter, so just go rent it. It's a great Mother's Day movie. It's about, of course, the resurrection of Jesus. And in the movie, there's this beautiful scene. I was going to play it for you, but I'll just describe it. And because my clock is running out fast. but the Roman soldier is there, and he's been commissioned by his by Pilate to find this resurrected Yeshua that everybody's talking about in Jerusalem, because supposedly, you know, the disciples came and rolled the stone away and stole his body just so that they could say he rose from the dead. And of course, we know the truth. He did rise from the dead. It wasn't anything to it as far as the conspiracy. But they bring in all these witnesses or these people that they arrest that they think are disciples or followers of Jesus that might know where his body is, because this guy's been commissioned to go find that body so they can put an end to this rumor once for all. And in this really beautiful, touching scene, they bring in this old woman, and she's very, very old. She's got, obviously, cataracts on her eyes, can't see anything. And the legionnaire brings him in and sits him in front of his general or the tribune. And the tribune kind of rolls his eyes like, "You brought me this lady?" But she says this. She says this. These three words. It's beautiful. She says, "He lifted me." Wow. I'll just stop there. I'll lose it. You got to see the movie. "He lifted me." And this is what Jesus does for women. Ladies, listen. Jesus came and broke every curse.
Amen.
So that you could be lifted into your fullest potential. And realize whatever it is in life he's given you to do. And there's some great things. There's enough potential in this room to rock our world. Not just America either. I'm talking about the world. If you ladies will rise up in your calling and your destiny in Christ Jesus and realize he's lifted you.
Yes.
He's loved you.
Amen.
Okay? I know it's so easy to get bogged down sometimes in the things right around us. Hey, the wash needs to be done. The kids need to be bathed, etc. Just know this. When you came into Christ Jesus, you came into an inheritance. You came into a destiny and a calling that is powerful. Yes, you have a role in the home. And yes, we need you. Right, guys? If you're like me, you don't cook, we need them. But listen, you have a destiny. And it's outside. It's easy, even outside the realm of your home. It's powerful. God has, and it may just be for you to one day to walk across the path of a world leader. And you show them the kindness and love of Jesus, or witness to them about Jesus. And you've changed the world. And there's a saying, the hand that rocks the cradle.
Yes. Rules the world.
Oh, I love it. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I shared with you a week or two back how there was a man who was drowning during the sinking of the Titanic. There's a story of a guy who would swim from drowning person to drowning person, basically lift him up for a moment and say, "Do you know Jesus? Are you right with God?" And of course, evangelism works real good in those circumstances. And people got saved one after another as he led them to Jesus in the freezing waters before he himself succumbed and went down. Wow. We don't know if that person did anything great in their life up to that point, but what greatness they fulfilled in their dying moments. Ladies, there's no telling what God has in store for you to do. But I do know this. Galatians 3:13 says, he came, he's redeemed you from the curse. He's redeemed you from every oppression that you might rise and be great in the house of God. There's plenty of examples in the Bible of women who did awesome things in the house and in the family of God in Israel. Let me give you a few quickies here. It was a woman who anointed Jesus for burial, because at the time of his death, they realized that, he knew in advance, the Holy Spirit knew, there wouldn't be enough time for proper burial wrapping and so forth, because they crucified Jesus right at a holiday, right? And the next day was the Sabbath, so they had to take his body down quickly from the cross, and that's also portrayed in the movie Risen. It's my second advertisement for the day. And they buried Jesus, and that's why it says on the first day of the week, Mary came to the tomb to appropriately put spices on his body. Well, we know she was too late, but there was another woman in the Bible who wasn't too late. Prompted by the Holy Ghost, she anointed Jesus in the midst of this room full of Pharisees. Can you imagine the courage? Because they knew her life, and she knew they knew her lifestyle before she found Jesus. And she anoints Jesus while he's living for his burial.
Amen.
And Jesus said, everywhere the gospel is preached, this story will be told.
That's right. Amen.
That's greatness. It was a woman who first saw Jesus before he ascended to the Father. He said this. He said, "Don't touch me. Don't hold on to me. I haven't gone to the Father yet." So he had risen from the dead, but he hadn't officially gone to heaven to forever sit at the right hand of the Father. It was a woman who first encountered Jesus in that situation. It was a woman who first declared, "He's risen." And it was many women who were honored throughout the book of Acts and the epistles that Paul wrote. For all the power that women have the potential to bring, and this is why Satan, again, even in the church, I'm sorry to say, but traditionally, most Christian churches, I'm talking about churches that, you know, preach Jesus from the pulpit, they've still had a miscued thing about how we deal with women in the church. Do we let them speak? Do we tell them how to dress? Do we tell them how to cut their hair? That's oppression. And Jesus came to lift you from it.
Hallelujah.
And he came to break every curse so you could be your full potential. Ladies, we honor you today as mothers in the household of God. As mothers, and I say that metaphorically, mothers in the sense of a caring, compassionate counselor who loves not just your own earthly children, but everyone in society God puts you in contact with. You have the power to shake this world. There's a dignity in women that can, you know, you can be walking the streets of Houston and you can come upon a guy who is about to commit a heinous crime and you can say, God bless you, honey. You know, a woman just has this power to just melt a guy. God bless you, honey. Are you having a good day? The guy goes, You know, and a demon falls off of him as he was about to commit some terrible crime. Because a woman has the power of sanctity in that situation. Women, you have incredible power through Christ Jesus to bring it, as P90X would say. Well, let's finish with our verse one more time in Galatians 3, and then we're going to dismiss you for Mother's Day. Galatians 3:13. Christ, won't you stand together with me while we read it? So powerful. Let's read it out loud. Just read it in whatever translation you got. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Ladies, we bless you today to be all that God's called you to be empowered, to cast off every yoke, every restraint that is part of the curse, and to be glorious in your womanhood and in all the roles he calls you to. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you say, Scott, I'm not right with God, but I want to make it right. I want to come near to Jesus. I want to come back to the Father. If you're in that situation today, I want to give you the opportunity. I know I've been preaching about women, but there may be a guy in here or two guys in here or three guys in here. I don't know how many. But there may be somebody here that says, I don't know Jesus. Never been born again. Never accepted Jesus as my Savior. Never had my sins forgiven. If that's you, I want you to just raise your hand right now where you're seated. We'll keep our eyes closed for the sake of momentary privacy. Of course, we'll deal with that later, but if you say, I need to know Jesus, I want to be born again, I want to receive Jesus in my heart, raise your hand up real high. I want to pray a prayer in just a moment to do that. And if you say, Scott, I've known Jesus, but I've walked away, and I'm out of fellowship now, I want to come back to Jesus. If that's you today, you say, I just want to come back to Jesus. This Jesus I've just heard about, who lifts women, who lifts the lowliest of society, the way society compares high to low, and you say, I want to come back to Jesus. I've been away. I'm coming back today. If you say, that's me, I'm coming back to Jesus today, just raise your hand right where you're at. Let me see it real high. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, the power of the cross to set us free, guys and gals alike. We thank you, Jesus, you've broken every curse. We declare over our homes, our marriages, our lives, and as individuals, Lord, we just declare every curse broken. We declare every restraint cast off, that we may be all that you've called us to be in Christ Jesus, Father. The blessing of Abraham come upon us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great Mother's Day. Be all you can be in the army of God.